we admit that we don't even deserve to put your praise and speak your name on our lips, but it's entirely your grace. It's entirely your work of drawing us to yourself. It's entirely your hand of favor. It's entirely your mercy, your love. And Lord, we come before you and stand before your holiness and before your greatness. We ask, Lord, that you'd wash us clean with your blood, that you forgive us for our sins. Lord, that you would take these weaknesses and addictions and bad sinful habits of ours and redeem what's been twisted in our lives and make us instruments of your glory, of your peace, of your righteousness. Would you work your holiness in our lives? Would you work your grace to transform us? Lord, make us a church that passionately loves you, that passionately loves your word. Lord, a church on fire in mind, will, and emotions with our heart for you. Lord, would you revive our souls? Would you renew our spirits this morning? As David prayed, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. God, we need you as if we're living in a dry and weary land, God, a desert. We need you more than the air we breathe, Jesus. And Father, it's my prayer for every person in this room to have a supernatural, dynamic, powerful encounter with the Son of God. That you'd awaken those that are dead and raise them to life. That you bring those that are discouraged out of despair and into vibrancy and life that you promise. That out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. God, I pray that you'd awaken men in this room to be fathers, to be the spiritual heads, to be the spiritual leaders of the homes that we need to be. That you'd awaken mothers, God, to be the mothers that they need to be in the homes. And God, that you'd awaken us as a church, God, to impact this next generation for the glory of the gospel, God, that we would know and realize everything we do and say is being watched, is being mimicked. Lord, that we would be the kind of disciple makers that you were and that you are. Oh, Jesus, come and shine your light in our hearts. And Lord, as we come into your word today, as the children go to their classes, bless them, Father. Speak to their hearts. And Lord, I would ask that you would move my thoughts and opinions out of the way and let you speak, God. And somehow in my frailness and human weakness and my tendency to wander, to be focused on your word. And let us as listeners focus on your word. And we give you all the glory and all the honor and the might in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. At this time, children are dismissed. And we'll continue in prayer today as we come before the Lord and his holy scriptures. Is there still a little bit of an echo out there for you all? Okay, good. Maybe just for me, what's between these? You know, when God works his faithfulness, we've been talking about faithfulness. This is the third week. We're on the fruit of the Spirit and the part of faithfulness. We become people of unwavering conviction. And you sang like you've never sang this morning, perhaps, and you gave your heart to the Lord because you are truly convicted of what you believe in. Not only that, it's an absolute trust in God, and our confidence is in God is so unwavering, and we're not swayed to throw in the towel when we face the pressures of the wicked environment that we're living in or when we're persecuted. And I want to say and begin to say we're on our last part of the definition of faithfulness is that those that are faithful are people that do not throw in the towel. Those that don't throw in the towel are characterized as faithful. Today we're going to go explore some passages in the book of Proverbs to discover what it looks like for a person to have the character of one who can be counted on or relied on. Now I want to ask you a question and think carefully. Can it be said of you that you are a faithful person? Are you reliable? Do you keep your commitments? Are you the kind of person that starts out strong in an endeavor or a ministry or Bible study, but then you quickly give up when the going gets rough or the honeymoon phase is over? Or you give up and throw in the towel because someone else in your family is not there at church with you in the Bible study or whatever it might be? Do you give up and stop pursuing when the honeymoon phase is over? You know, throughout years of ministry, I've always seen we start a new Bible study, and not in this church, only in this church, but in churches everywhere. We start a Bible study, everybody's excited and gung-ho, and then by the time we get 3 weeks in, attendance starts to waver, people's zeal starts to go away, because the honeymoon phase is over. So are you faithful? Do your actions match your words? So when our actions begin to match our words, we have wholeness and we have what's called integrity. So those three definitions that we've been through 3 weeks ago, we went through the first part of faithfulness, meaning the conviction of truth of anything. Last week, we talked about the belief with the idea of trust or confidence in God. And we talked about how the faithful believer will follow in the footsteps of those that are godly and suffer, knowing that God will rescue them. That's trust in God. The faithful believer will desire to live a godly life in spite of persecution, knowing that they're in Christ Jesus. And the faithful believer who has trust in God continues in what they have learned in the Scriptures. We talked about that last week. The faithful believer who trusts in God will allow every part of God's Word to guide every aspect of their life. And so God's Word strengthens us and gives us unwavering trust, and it makes us complete, and it equips us for every good work. That's what we talked about last week. And so this week, the faithful believer has trust in God, follows in the footsteps of the godly. I already went through that. Let's skip that. I didn't know I had a slide for that. What do you know? I had something there for you. But we're going to look at number three today, the character of one who can be relied on, who is faithful or has fidelity. Now, remember the summary of our definition. Faithfulness is a person who has faithfulness, has strong, unwavering conviction concerning truth, has unwavering trust in God, is continuously reliable or trustworthy. Their actions match their words and they keep their commitments. They're not quitters. So I'm going to raise the big question. Do you know what the big question is today? Does anybody have a guess about what the big question is today? Well, we're going to find the answer to that. And it is, who can find a faithful human? That's in Proverbs 20, and we're going to go there in a minute. But who can find a faithful human? And you know, if you're like me, we're always constantly looking for people that are faithful, right? Because it's our faithful friends who don't let us down. It's our faithful friends that don't throw us under the bus. Matthew 12, 33 to 37, Jesus talks about the words that we speak. And when it comes to faithfulness and integrity, it has to do with our actions matching our words. And so I want to read this first before we go into Proverbs 20, kind of as a way into it. But Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruits bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. So he's basically saying, if you're a believer, you'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not, you won't. And he says, you brood of vipers. He's talking to those that were fake or hypocrites. How can you speak good when you are evil? Or, in other words, he's talking to unbelievers. Unbelievers can't speak good when they're evil because of sin. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's what's in our heart is what's going to come out of our mouth. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now that's a powerful, heavy passage of Scripture that hits us all between the eyes. But he's saying, you know, as an unbeliever, without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't speak goodness. We can't speak the grace unless we're saved. And so that's the first part, is being born again. And so to think that every careless word we're going to give an account to God, boy, that's scary. I've said a lot of dumb things in my life. I've opened mouth and inserted foot millions of times probably in my lifespan and of 48 years. More than a million times. Yeah, and think about how many times you've done it, Sandy. I'm not going to ask how old you are. So let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Let's look at verse 6. It says, many a man or humans proclaim his own steadfast love. Now, don't you think Jesus was just talking about people who proclaim their own faithfulness? People who speak, but they don't have Christ in their life. He says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love. Now, everybody claims to be, I'll be there, right? I'll call you right back. And then how many times do we fail and drop the ball because we're humans? And then he asks this question, the big question, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. And so what I want to talk about, this faithfulness thing, your actions matching your word, which is basically integrity, which means completeness or fullness or innocence. It's from the root word to be complete or finished all the way to the end. And so what is he saying there? He's saying that we're not the kind of people that say something and then do another thing. It's we're not the kind of people that are inconsistent. Like one day we're one way and the next day we're another way. And one day we're flying off the handle, the next day we're as peaceful and as calm as could be. He says, the more we have integrity, the more wholeness comes about in our life, the more consistency comes about. And so I want to point out the first thing there is that the believer who displays faithfulness will impact the next generation. And every single one of you, including myself in this room, are here to be an impact on someone else's life. And the greatest way to impact others is to be whole. Is to have the integrity in our lives. And so the first part of that is that we can't rely on our own faithfulness. That's the first step. This is the bottom line. We can't rely on our own steadfast love. We can't trust in ourselves. And so as a believer, we put our trust, and God's asking the question, a faithful man, who can find? He's looking around. I was like, Mike's putting his trust in himself again. He's not faithful. Those that are faithful are rare because they do not rely on their own steadfast love. Folks, I think this is one of the huge, one of the biggest issues, I think, in church today is relying on ourselves and not God. Trusting in ourselves and not God. Trusting that I'm good. We even have a phrase we throw around. You say, how are you doing? I'm good. Do you need help with that? I'm good. You hear our teenagers say that a lot. I'm good. I was like, ugh, No, you're not. There's something going on that you're not telling me, right? Those that are faithful don't rely on their own steadfast love, or that's the goodness and kindness and faithfulness that only God can give us. And then the second part of that is that those that truly practice what they say will have impact that brings happiness and progress to the next generation. When he says in the Word of God, do you see it there? Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Verse 7, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. And that word blessed means happiness, and it's from the root word to go straight or walk or advance and make progress. Now, we all want the next generation to make progress, right? This tells me that the number one way that we help others make progress is for us to have our actions match our words. Now, we've constantly hear that phrase and joke around, you know, do as I say, not as I do. It doesn't work. Any of the things that we see, we had some testimonies in prayer time. If you haven't been a part of prayer time, you should come and pray. This is part of us learning to rely on God and seek the face of the Lord. But there were some testimonies of some kids and some children that are learning to walk in the ways of the Lord, but they only were copying what they saw other people doing, not what they said. What they say, what's they're taught in Sunday school or Sunday church, or Wednesday night, that only strengthens and emphasizes what they see. So integrity is that completeness. So the believer who displays faithfulness will impact the generation. Do you want to be a person of impact, or do you want to be a fuddy-duddy for the rest of your life? Do you want to be someone that just sits there constantly with your head down? Or do you want to be someone that's alive with the Spirit of God, that the Word of God is touching your heart in such a way and gives you a fire to say, I'm going to live what I believe? We impact the next generation for the glory of God. I love this little comic, Dad, can I go play video games? He says, did you finish your homework? And then he asks, Dad, did you finish cleaning the garage for Mom? Like you told her you would. And they're both sitting on the couch playing video games. Isn't that how it goes with integrity? I'll be there. I'll pray for you. You never thought of pray for them the whole week. I've done that. I really would like, here's my bad thing that I get myself into trouble with my wife all the time. I truly want to have everybody here over for dinner. I want to have everybody in my home. I want to spend time with you. And so I make lots, I say, well, we should have you to dinner sometime. And then sometimes it doesn't happen, does it? I'll call you right back. I'll always be your friend. You know, it seems the people that make the most promises with their life are the ones that don't carry through with the action. And I know we've all experienced that in our lives. So number two, the believer who displays faithfulness will experience clear guidance. Now, I'd like you to flip over to chapter 11 of Proverbs, verse 3. I don't normally skip around like this, but Proverbs is set up in such a way that we can do that. The believer who displays faithfulness will experience clear guidance. And look at verse 3 of chapter 11. He says, the integrity or the wholeness of persons' actions matching their words of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So when he uses that word crookedness, it means crooked dealing. It's from the word distort or overturn. And for those that are treacherous, it means to act deceitfully, to act faithlessly so as to offend others. So in other words, what we say is not the same as what we do. So if we want to have direction in our life and not step off the cliff like this guy is about to do, integrity will guide a person in the right direction throughout their whole life. If we pursue wholeness as believers, if we say, you know what, I'm going to focus on practicing what I say. I'm going to focus on making sure that I have honest, real, right words. Words that are fueled from love of the Holy Spirit. I will receive guidance in my life. I will go, in other words, in the right direction. That word means to lead, to transport, or to straighten up. I remember when I was a kid, many times my parents, you don't hear that said anymore. Straighten up! What that really means is to go in the right direction. We don't say that anymore because we might offend our kids, right? And little junior won't be my buddy anymore unless I give him a popsicle after he disobeyed me. See, integrity will guide a person in the right direction throughout their own life. And then the very opposite, he says, crookedness will bring destruction to a person throughout their whole life. And that word destroys means to deal with violently, to be devastated, to be ruined, to be assailed, to be assaulted. Folks, we don't want to live in that way. We've all met people like that, that live in crookedness. Their actions don't match their words, and their whole life is nothing but devastation and ruin and violence and all these things. It's one thing after another because they refuse to receive clear guidance. Now, don't misunderstand that. Don't think just because you have trials or go through difficult times that this is what's happening here. But we know the difference between a trial, because a trial produces faith. That's what the Bible says. But something that is destructive, if I say we're living as a hypocrite, it produces devastation and ruin and not good fruit in our lives. It doesn't refine us. So that's the difference between those two things. So since Brother Steve is back, we have a dad joke. And really this, whether I want to admit it or not, this is some of my kind of nerd humor too. So God, I could really use a little guidance. And so there's a little man dancing there. What's happening? And he says, I don't know. She asked for a little guy dance. All right. We got a few courtesy laughs out of that one. That's good. Number three. Let's move on. The believer who displays faithfulness will value integrity over wealth. And here's the things. We have to value what we're talking about this morning above anything else. And there's two passages in Proverbs that we're going to look at today. And the first one is Proverbs chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. He says in chapter 19, 1 through 3 of Proverbs, better is a poor person who walks in his integrity. What is he saying there? He's basically saying it's better to be without and to have your actions match your words. Because when our actions match our words, sometimes we go without, right? We face consequences for doing the right thing. Like Daniel did and like Joseph did. And he says, the one who is crooked in his speech and is a fool. And then he goes on to say, desire without knowledge is not good. Whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. So the first thing I want to talk about is those that value integrity over wealth conform their speech to truth. Now he talks about crooked speech. And speech that is twisted or distorted from truth. And he talks about promises we make that we don't keep. And he uses that word speech, which means lip or language. And it's from the root word to sweep or snatch away at the end or a conclusion. So basically, I mean, the edge of these lips, the borders of these lips are the border of what's coming from the heart. We must learn to conform our speech to truth. How many of you, don't answer this out loud, have ever encountered somebody that you can't get a word in edgewise, is the word we use? How many of, don't raise your hands, have been that person? Maybe a lot of us have in other times in certain ways. But he says, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses the way. We're talking about the witch hunt syndrome here, which we're all prone to. I've done it many times, where if I don't have knowledge about something, I spout off with the mouth and I say something about it that is wrong, that is not correct. That's what he's talking about here. He says, he who makes haste, or in other words, they're pressed, they're urged. He's like, I just got to get it out. I have to say it. I don't know anything about it, but I want to say it. I want to interrupt what they're saying, and I want to say it. And I've interrupted people many times. Maybe you have too. Because I just want to get it out. Is that word he says makes haste or is pressed? He says he misses the way. In other words, he misses, he goes wrong, he is unclean. Now, there's some other hard words there. He says when a man's folly, and that word folly means foolishness, and that's from the root of one who despises wisdom. Now, think about that. When we speak without getting knowledge, we really are despising wisdom. Or when we speak without knowledge, we mock other people because we're guilty and we've been caught in something. Or one who is quarrelsome. Or one who is licentious. Now, that is pretty strong. That's a person that's full of folly. Someone who despises wisdom, who mocks when guilty, and one who quarrels, and one who is licentious. So we've all seen mockers. We've all seen people sit and laugh at other people because it hit a nerve. But notice what happens next here. He says, he whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, what happens? His heart rages against the Lord. So in other words, to be out of humor, to appear perplexed, to be troubled, to be sad looking, raging against the Lord. Why is there a lot of people angry at God? Because of folly. Why is the times that I have been angry at God? Because of folly. Because of foolishness. Those that value integrity over wealth conform their speech to the truth. And the next part of that is that as we turn over to chapter 28 of Proverbs, those that value integrity over wealth conform their actions to God's word. Now, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture, and I hope that I can explain it in a healthy, in a positive way, in a way that can be understood, because it's a lot to unpack there. Have you ever heard the phrase, birds of a feather flock together? We use that phrase. So let's read, with that in mind, chapter 28, verses 6 and 7. He says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity. So now he's talking about the walk, not just the speech, than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. The one who keeps the law is a son of understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. Now, what is he talking about there? He says he who keeps or keeps watch or guards God's word or guards what is true, keeps it secret, keeps it close to his heart, has understanding. In other words, he knows it. He has discernment. But then he uses a word that's very interesting there. Birds of a feather flock together. Have you ever wondered why you feel more comfortable around people who have the same addictions and vices as you? Because birds of a feather flock together. And I want to say today, and I hope that this will, I think this is one thing that helps me and I think will help us as believers. If you want to overcome addictions, don't go flock together with those that have those same addictions and they're still working through them. Find people that have gotten victory or have victory in their life. And so you, he says, companion. That word companion is to pastor, to tend, to gaze, to become an idolater. It's used as Israel, as a flock, to associate with, to be a friend. And so why is it that I hang around people that are doing the same things? Because I feel comfortable. I don't feel judged. I don't feel convicted. I don't feel like I have to change because I'm just brazenly doing these things and I hang around the people that do it. He says, don't hang out or become a companion with gluttons. In other words, those that are worthless and insignificant, or they make light of addictions, they squander, they lavish them. That's the word glutton. So it's to make light of something. So if you want to grow spiritually, don't go around people that make light of what you're addicted to. Split up the flock. Don't be birds of a feather flock together because you're not going to change and I'm not going to change unless I take action and listen to the words of the scripture. He says, the one who keeps the law, I must go to the word of God. The word of God must be my ultimate companion. I don't want this all the time, and I know you don't either. I'd rather a girl around somebody that's doing the same things I'm doing than to look at this like a mirror. And it points out something that I need to change. But notice what happens when you become a companion with gluttons. He shames his father. In other words, he insults, he humiliates, he even puts into confusion those that are the father figures in our lives. So a person of integrity values being poor. They'd rather be poor and have integrity than to not have integrity in their words and their actions. I know this is hard stuff. I know this is tearing up the very fibers of things in my own soul, and I hope it does yours as well. But these words are true, right? We've got to be convicted to go to the next level. Which leads us to this last point. The believer who displays faithfulness will experience security and deliverance. Have you ever felt yourself walking around wondering, is the pastor going to see, or somebody, is mom or dad going to see? And you're always worried about watching behind your back and who's seeing you do what? A person of security can take a deep breath and go, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to be on the run anymore. So look in chapter 10, verse 9. He says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. He who makes his ways crooked will be found out. So you're like the man that's always looking and always on the run, always looking behind his back. I want to encourage you. Come to the cross. Come to the Savior. Come to repentance. Come to that place where you say, you know what? I'm going to stop running. I'm going to go to the one place where I can find security. And that is to allow him to do open heart surgery on me and to make my actions and lead me and show me how to have my actions match my words. Those that are faithful have security. And that word security comes from the word trust or confident and boldness. See, a person who is not doing anything wrong walks boldly and securely. What a relief that is. Don't think of the commercial. But it just relaxes the soul and spirit to walk boldly in spirit. God is calling men and women of this generation who are not always having to look behind their back. Who's seeing me what I'm looking at on my home? Who's seeing me what I'm doing on my computer? Who's seeing me what I'm doing behind the building? Who's seeing me doing this or that? And you fill in the blanks. You know all your things that you do. No, it's not my job to personalize or whatever, those sort of things. You let the Holy Spirit do that with you. It's such a relief to come to that place where finally we walk boldly and securely, because we've given up and left those ways behind. Security. Being held in God's hand in the integrity of our actions matching our words. And then the next part of that is chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And I want to end with this today. Proverbs 28, verses 18 to 20. He says, whoever walks in integrity will be delivered. So security, deliverance. But he who is crooked in his ways, there's that word twisted again, twisted, crooked in his ways, will suddenly fall. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So he's basically saying here, those that are faithful will experience the deliverance of God and skip the pitfalls and worthless pursuits in your life. Did you notice the word there? He says his crooked ways will suddenly fall, as if you've fallen into a pit all at once. That word suddenly comes from the word one, which means it happens, and it comes from a root word, which means sharp. It's very quick. It just happens. It's like the door being out, the floor falling out from underneath you, and you just drop. But those that endeavor by the power of the Holy Spirit to be men and women whose actions match their word, people of integrity, walk securely, are delivered from those pitfalls of life. And then he warns us and talks about worthless pursuits, or pursuits that are empty or vain, or those things that keep us hungry that we have to keep going back to again and again and again, because our cravings are never satisfied. He says, but a faithful man will abound with blessings. When he uses that word faithfulness, firmness, steadfastness, steadiness. And then he says abound. Is there anyone in here that wants to abound in blessings? I don't want just a blessing. He says you will abound. It says many more, or what we use in math, greater than. Blessing, which is prosperity, praise to God. And it could be often looked at as a treaty of peace, to live at peace in our souls. Deliverance. So overall, as we've launched through this passage of integrity, you challenge me and I challenge you. And Christ Community Church, let's go on this journey of allowing our actions to match our words, to make sure that we become people of fidelity, people that can be relied on, to say, oh yeah, I'm going to sign up for that. Make sure that you go, or you're responsible to call and say, I got sick, or I got run over by a frog or whatever that hopped across the road. I don't know. But let people know. It says, overall, having integrity produces great blessing, and the generation's going to be blessed, and you will abound. So what do you want the next generation to be blessed? Do you want your kids to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? This is the pathway that God has given. He says, faithfulness. For the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. So if we display faithfulness, remember, we will impact the next generation. We will walk through life with clear guidance. We will value integrity over wealth, and we'll experience security and deliverance. I want to ask if our worship team would come today. Father, if there is anything that I have said that is out or counter to your word or not right according to your word, that you would erase it from the minds of all of us in here and only let the words that we read from this book permeate our hearts. Lord, we admit we come to you in our weakness. We've said a lot of things with our mouth that we haven't really followed through in our lifespans. And so, Lord, first of all, we admit we can't do it. We can't be trustworthy in our own steadfastness. So we ask for a baptism, a filling of your Holy Spirit, of your faithfulness, of your steadfast love, of your kindness, of your goodness, which you poured out in our hearts so we can be the faithful people that you've called us to be. Lord, bless every person in this room. And Lord, I pray for a new, in each and every one of our hearts, a new steadfastness to pursue this faithfulness, a new zeal and a desire to be husbands and wives that honor and please you, men and women that please you, that lead the next generation, that no one can look and say they're hypocrites. Oh God, help us. Have mercy on our souls. Come and clean us and come and use us for your glory and your kingdom in Jesus' name.